Hello and welcome back to another Evolving Hockey podcast. My name is Sean. My arms are stretched wide in excitement, and I'm joined by the Evolving Wild Twins, Josh and Luke Youngren.
What's up, Sean?
What's going on? We were just talking a little bit about the playoff race. I was very proud of the Twins for watching recently a hockey game that had nothing to do with the playoff race this weekend, but that's okay. They supported their Minnesota Wild.
We did,
and
yeah.
They lost in the shootout.
They did. Well, they had a couple. We watched another game. We were over at our parents watching. They played. I don't even remember. Was it?
They were playing Anaheim.
Yeah, we watched them play Anaheim, and then you know, so like these are very important games, Sean, that we're watching. The Wild, you know, here in Minnesota, there's still the narrative that the Wild have a shot at the playoffs, and so that's you know, that's every. I don't know. I bet. Like, do you think the Devils are still selling in Jersey?
No, they can't be in Jersey.
No,
they can't. They traded. They traded a bunch of players.
Yeah, I suppose that's true.
Kind of. Or no, I guess they swapped their goalies. My favorite.
What are you talking about?
They swapped. Yeah, maybe that was just it.
Well, they traded Toffoli too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Theoretically.
But I was gonna say, fantasy hockey regular season is over. And you're talking to the champion right here of the regular season, President's Trophy winner, Luke. 16-6, baby, top of the league. You know, now of course I'm gonna Tampa 18-19 Tampa Bay lose to the Blue Jackets in the first round, right?
Yeah.
Is that what's gonna happen in my fantasy? Sorry,
we're mostly.
I'm excited.
Luke and I are both in our playoffs start this week. We're both just very happy that that. Everything worked well this season with our projections, and it was a you know we've gone over this multiple times, but now it's my team did not finish strong. I was the best team in the league for the whole season for most of it until like the last 4 weeks, and then you know I didn't get into the locker room to give them a pep talk, you know all that stuff. So yeah, so it's shout out to all the fantasy hockey. I think it's like probably most leagues are like heading into playoffs right now, right? I would assume.
Yeah, if not already in it,
that'd be my guess. I don't know, Sean. The
Sean seemed like
David's house or whatever it's called.
I checked out. I used Dom Lucian's fantasy projections, as I talked about, and they suck. They really do, and so it didn't go well. And
you know, Evolving Hockey fantasy projections. I'm not saying anything.
Yeah,
they worked well for me.
They look. Dom had a nice Excel already set up. So I was like, whatever, it's better than download, or it's easier than downloading. And I think he had like one of the other stats. And that was a massive mistake. So don't take shortcuts, kids. Just because Dominic the Athletic offers you to take the shortcuts. No.
Don't you have to download the Excel spreadsheet anyway, right? From Dom?
Yeah, but then it's already cleaned. He does a really good job with it. Obviously, I'm being also not serious too, but like he has it already like cleaned. All you have to do is just add in your settings and like you're all good to go.
Yeah, but I built out the really nice UI for our fantasy projections. That was a lot of work, I will say. That was not a fun thing to do, to have to build out how to enter all the points and the weights and everything and then have it display each thing's. It was
that's
annoying.
What delayed the expert
right to be but, to be fair, Luke is kind of lying because he did have a little fun doing that.
Oh, I did have fun. Yeah, I did have fun doing it. I had to work.
I think
some
what
magic.
You mean by it wasn't fun is that it took a bit of work.
It took a bit of work. But anyway, no, it's yeah. I'm just happy because, as people may or may not know, we did not. Josh and I did not do well in our league last year, and that was our fault. It had nothing to do with the projections.
No,
big shout out to Josh for making those the projection models.
What's up?
That's Josh's half. I do the UI, front end, aka, and so happy about that. So we're heading into the playoffs, hoping to finish strong.
Shout out to the conditional formatting.
Yeah, yeah. Well, unlike Dom's fantasy projections, though, with that, which you know, Sean is, I don't have any experience using Dom's projections, but unlike that model, Dom's game, his team projection model has been quite good this season. I don't know if some people probably saw on Twitter, but it was, I think, one of our last. I think I'll do one more at the end of the season, but I did just kind of a thread on, you know, like I do a couple times a season, tracking the preseason projections. We've talked about this a few times before. The Evolving Hockey model is on the rise. Let me just say, things are coming back around. We're no longer second to last or whatever we were. Were
that was the Devils.
Were the six worst.
The Devils, Flames, and Kraken are just, they broke my heart this season.
Yeah, and so I don't know. I thought it was kind of interesting because I think following the like kind of the league over the last month, I think there's been some interesting trends. I don't know if you would call them trend corrections, but a few of the teams that I guess our model has gotten a little bit better because we specifically it's for the teams that have gotten worse. I think
Vegas.
Vegas is a big one, but also like Chicago, and this is also like relative to the other.
Chicago got worse.
Yeah,
haven't they just been bad?
Yeah, maybe, Let me go pull up my tweet so I can remember what I sent out.
I think they've just been at the bottom. They've underperformed. I mean, I think the thing is with like Vegas and San Jose is that like a model isn't going to project a team to be that bad. Right, it's kind of like on both sides. Is a lot of the time the top teams in the league are overperforming projections, even if they're expected to be good, they're going to be overperforming what the average kind of.
I gotta imagine though, as it pertains to a tank battle, this is like some of the worst we've ever seen, or like I guess the best of a tank battle.
Yeah,
like,
it's a good
right
tank
now.
Battle.
The Sharks are because we I don't remember how many games they have remaining. Projected at 50.5 points. With like a standard deviation of 3.4, I mean it's fairly likely that they don't reach the 50 point mark. and then the Blackhawks are at 54 for projected. Like the tankoff is real. And I was looking at this the other day. For one, Tabernak, the 2019-20 Red Wings really just were that bad. I think COVID completely like made me underappreciate how bad that they really were because they got stopped in progress.
Yeah.
So
prorated like, out the 1920 legendary 1920 Red Wings are one of the worst teams that we've ever seen.
Right. So they
in the modern era, we should
say. Yeah, sorry.
Correct. Let me take away the scoring adjustments just I don't know, I think it's a little bit easier just to discuss without it. The 1920 Red Wings had a 34.9% goals for percentage all situations, which you know, so taking away the stupid shootout things, right, their goal differential through 71 games was -123. The Sharks right now are sitting at 67 games at a 35.9%. So they're one percentage point off, and we know how bad this Sharks team is. They're one percentage point above, and they're at a -116 goal differential. So I think we're kind of underselling how good slash bad this race is, as well as the 1920 Red Wings. I think we get really caught up on the 2014-15 Sabres. Last year's Ducks team.
Yeah.
And we do not appreciate how bad the hockey has been with the San Jose Sharks as well as the Chicago Blackhawks.
Yeah, and I think one of the things with is specifically around the Blackhawks have the Bedard press, or like, you know, they have that feel good story, if you will, around having like a potential like superstar in the making in their rookie year. So they have at least something going for them that I think has kind of made people not realize just how atrocious they are this season. The Sharks, on the other hand, don't.
Oh, everybody
what do the
knows.
Sharks have?
I don't even know who is on the Sharks that
they
even
traded Hurdle.
Yeah. So it's like, I guess Couture, is he even?
No, well, Couture was, well, there's been some funny quotes from Couture, right?
Yeah.
I think. And what was
Sean's
like,
just laughing.
Was
in the
it Nico? Was it
him.
Nico Sturm? Like, didn't there was some quote about how they, like, they just don't. I can't remember. Never mind.
So
I can't remember.
The top player in GAR for them this year.
Oh boy,
I think I looked at
does
this.
He still play on them is Justin Bailey at 7.5 GAR.
That's
then Anthony Duclair, who they sent away. They sent him to Tampa.
Yeah.
And then Ty Emberson, Fabian Zetterlund, Mikael Granlund. I mean, it's getting rough really quick. Luke Cunnan, your boy.
Not
your
our
boy,
not
Cunnan,
our boy. Well, yeah, kind of, yeah.
-10.4 GAR.
He is, so the thing with Cunnan is that he is He was such a high prospect back in World Juniors or whatever that was, like 2017, 2018. He spent now, or maybe it was 2016. I don't know.
Further back. Yeah, wasn't it like one of the older teams?
I don't know. It was whatever. The Wild, I think I've mentioned this before. The Wild had like Kaprizov, Greenway, Cunning.
Oh, you know what?
Eriksson.
Maybe it was 2017. I guess he's my age.
Yeah, so it was like the first year all of their prospects were in, and everyone's talking about Luke Cunning's like captain material. He's going to be great. And he has been consistently one of the worst players in the league now for like four or five seasons. And I mean, by all accounts, great dude, great locker room guy, it seems like. But yeah,
his wife's way better at hockey than him.
Yes.
And I think that's just so funny.
Yeah. So I don't know. I think we've been, because we've been watching Wild games, we've been watching a lot of mid hockey going on. I have not necessarily, since the first couple months of the season, tuned into the Sharks or Blackhawks, and I think I might need to change that.
Yeah. I might need to see just about
the played each other.
I know they
this
did.
Weekend.
Yeah.
Did you watch?
I did not.
No.
No, I did not. We should have watched it. That would have been like that a couple years ago with that legendary Montreal Arizona game.
Legendary.
Where it was like the worst hockey I've ever seen in my life. That was like the worst NHL. It was so bad.
It was a gorgeous thing, really.
Yeah. But no, it's I want to see. Well, I just want to see the Blackhawks just to see, because some of their players' defensive numbers are so funny.
Yeah,
like they're just terrible. Like their defense. Like, and this is going to be a thing. Obviously, Bedard's going to win the Calder, you know, and it's not because that's just the, you know, that's the media. Well, it's not the media. It's the narrative, right? But, and I mean, it's again, we've talked about this many times about how with teams that bad, it's just kind of, you can't really separate out or really kind of, or I should phrase it that it's hard to trust that the defensive numbers of some of the players on the Blackhawks team this year is like, are their actual true talent defensive numbers? Because I don't think that's true. I don't think that Connor Bedard is actually that bad at defense, although we have seen superstar players who have that exact profile where they're, you know, all gas, no brakes, right? It's just, all offense, and then whatever happens in their own defensive zone, it's like, well, that's not my problem.
I think the other thing with rookies also is it's hard to like know what if that's the player they're going to be. Like, mm-hmm. I think that's one of the hardest parts of getting into the NHL is, which is, I think we've kind of talked the reverse about this, like when we talked with multiple times and we talked with Charlie about like Forrester, for instance, right? I think it's a much more impressive feat to come into the league and have like solid defensive numbers. You know, Sean's kind of, you know, shaking his head, but it's more, or he's thinking about it, I suppose. But it's more, I think, a little bit rarer to see. I think the expectation is more that it's the defense is kind of the hard part at first for forwards anyway, I should say. Because I think, especially for players like Bedard or really high-end, like high caliber like prospects, is that they were not necessarily asked to be defensively sound necessarily when they were, you know, in their minor league or younger years, basically. And so I think it kind of makes sense that that transition would potentially be hard, or they might not necessarily be set up to immediately play that way, I guess, coming in the league. But I don't know, Sean, maybe you look like you had something to say.
I think you started to kind of come around to it, right? Like, well, so I think Bedard's a really good conversation to have, because I think Dom's taken a lot of heat on his award stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's happened as much with you, but like he's been writing like full articles out on The Athletic, right? And you know, I think with him there's a few different things with that, in which, because the Blackhawks are completely empty hole offensively, like I think it puts a lot more strain on him to try to be, not only is he probably going to be like more or less a quote-unquote one-dimensional player, but I think it puts more stress on him to deliver offensively, because like at the end of the day, like the Blackhawks are trying to win games. Now I think they know that they will struggle to win games, but like as a player, like that's your natural instinct, and Connor Bedard's extremely competitive, right? So you're trying to win games, your team's a complete black hole offensively. And so it puts you in a position where they're really relying on your very rare offensive talents. And so it puts you in more stress for him to take those risks and to take that trade-off to deliver offensively.
Yeah.
And the cost is for him being probably atrocious defensively. As well as, I think you can hinder a player if a player comes into the league. Like, and analytics people think have complained about this at times with different prospects, Whereas, like, when you have a player like him, he comes into the league and he has defensive deficiencies, and you immediately cut out, like, the development of his offensive game to be like, hey, like, let's fix the defensive stuff. Like, you could stunt his growth,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that's going to happen with Connor Bedard because he's a generational player, but I do think, like, that happens with certain players where their offensive game doesn't get developed as much, or can have a stunt in development, and they never make it to potentially where they could be because you put, you try to develop them, their defensive game too early, right? Or change their focus around too early.
Yeah.
There's a balance with everything, but, you know, you don't want to put a saddle on Bedard just yet. Like, just let him run around.
Well, yeah. It's also like, there's, I mean, what support does that team have defensively too? It's like, the whole system or all their player, I don't even know. It's just so. For instance, if you're looking at our XR model, sort by rookies, and you look at the bottom EBD, you know, even strength defense GAR, the bottom four are all Chicago rookies, right? It's it's Kevin Korchinski, Bedard, Isaac Phillips, and Louis Crevier. I don't know, that is that French, Crevier. And so it's also kind of funny because if you look, Connor Bedard has the second worst defensive performance among rookies and the second best offensive performance among rookies, which is actually funny because there's a player that nobody's talking about for Calder, which is Marco Rossi, who is currently leading our all rookies among XGAR is Marco Rossi.
Sean almost fell out of his chair.
I'm just going to say we got two under the radar rookies that nobody's talking about. Connor Zari and Rossi. Those are the two that, like, nobody's ever talked. Like, Rossi, like, the announcers hardly talk about Rossi. Right, like it's pretty funny. I don't know. It's like really,
well, you know. You can't blame the announcers. You can hardly see him out there. He's so small, right?
got him. No, but I don't know. I just think it's really interesting. And this is, I don't know. I'm just coming at this from, like, I guess I've always been somebody who's like, it's boring. Like, I've heard how much about Connor Bedard this year, and that's all anybody, like, talks about, whatever. I think it's really interesting when there's these other players that nobody ever talks about, or you know, I would say the underappreciated players that are playing really well that nobody talks about. That's always been really interesting,
you know,
to me.
This is off topic, but you know what we didn't do this season was scout a rookie again. Like, we should have done that. Can we still make time for that, you think? Or is the season
close? Should we scout the Sharks' new goalie, Devin Cooley?
No, I was going to say one of these undercover.
Wait,
like last
that?
Year. I don't know. They had a new goalie.
Devin Cooley?
Devin
Cooley. They have Magnus Crona, right? His girlfriend's
sure.
TikTok is hilarious. I'm assuming you've never come across it.
I don't have TikTok.
I'm not on TikTok.
But I know that, but, like, I don't think it's made it off of TikTok because I feel like it's still kind of niche. Like, I don't think she's that popular, but her TikToks are hilarious. She just, like, refers to him as his roommate, and then she'll intentionally like mess up the names of the teams. Like with the Chicago one, she's like, yeah, they're playing Illinois tonight.
It's like a Friedman thing, kind of.
Kind of. But she actually is funny on the camera.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Anyways, shout out to her.
Yeah,
she's
recommended
the bright spot of the Sharks.
Yeah, but
sorry,
anyway,
where were
it's
we?
Just I was just saying that it's interesting. I think that I don't know. There's some players that are going really underreported, and I think mainly I'm, you know, as kind of quasi Wild fans, former Wild fans, it is if Rossi was doing this this exact thing like 5 years ago, like you would not hear the fucking end of it from me on Twitter. This would be if you take this situation, go back 6 years, and that's happening again. Like, it would be ruthless on Twitter about, we'd make a lot of people mad.
Well, we've gotten some, here and there, what happens is we'll have our, like, a little awards thread go out, and we don't, you know, we're not writing full articles like Dom is. It's just kind of, these are our takes based on our metrics. But we've had some Blackhawks fans pick up the Calder tweet, and then what happens is people quote tweet it, like a big account will quote tweet it, and then we get a bunch of people who saw the tweet, And it's kind of like, hey, go bully this person. That's kind of like what the tweet is essentially like. That's kind of happens on Twitter sometimes. It's like, I don't know, somebody with 15,000 followers be like, hey, this person's stupid. Go bully them, basically. And then you get a bunch of people in your replies, which I can't tell you the number of times that's happened since we've been on Twitter. But what was I going to say? Oh, I had – sorry, what, Sean?
Where did Fantilli go in all this?
I don't know.
He's only
played 49 games. Did he get injured?
Well, but he's like nowhere close to the top. Am I missing this?
No, I mean, what does something look wrong?
No, it's just like, where is he?
The one thing I will say about Marco Rossi is that he is a lot of that value is from his shooting. The GAR model doesn't pick up on his value quite as much. There's a very large discrepancy between Rossi's numbers in GAR and XGAR.
But here's what I should say. Even if you just look at his standard stats, right? Like, Rossi is third in rookie points, right? So you got Bedard at 53. And then Brock Faber at 38 and Marco Rossi at 35. But, like, if you look, Bedard currently is shooting 12.65 shooting percentage. Rossi is at 12.95, but the expected Fenwick shooting of each one is like Rossi is basically expected Fenwick shooting is 9.2% and Bedard's is 8.6%. So it actually is kind of like if we look at like the actual submodels here and take a look at which one is getting more offensive value from shooting. If hold on, let me just do this real quick on the fly. It does seem like it's almost like Bedard is getting more value from shooting. Yeah, it's like no, they're very close. They're basically like two goals.
Anyway,
both are getting two goals. So I'm just saying it's not like you can attribute it all to shooting talent,
for
Rossi. It's like a lot of it is just I don't know. I just think Rossi's a really interesting player because he kind of fell in the draft a little bit. The Wild took him and then COVID hit and he got really sick and had a really huge impact from COVID. And then he's coming back in his first full season. And then his first like attempts with the Wild went terribly. Like last year, it was not
Dean Evason just hated him.
And it was not good with the Wild last year. And then this year, he's getting a full season
and
flying under the radar. Like nobody's talking about Marco Rossi. And
is that everyone's talking about Brock Faber. Like he's now kind of in the conversation.
Well, a defenseman being second in points among rookies is kind of that's a story.
And I think that it's legit. Like I think that Faber might end up like second or third in Calder voting. I don't think that's like. You know, and I actually think it's like it's deserved, you know, but I also think like they also have Rossi, who's, you know, been very good. But Sean is getting annoyed with it. We're talking about Wild players here.
We need to look at Connor
Carlson, but OK.
I was just going to say, because I had multiple things queued up here while you guys were talking and then you changed the subject. So I needed to circle back on at least one was kind of back to the Bedard thing was. Looking at because I kind of forgotten this too, but like I was kind of thinking about the generational players, which is however you want to define it. I know that there's been some that's a funny topic also where like Tango Tiger. I don't know if people are familiar with Tom Tango or Tango Tiger on Twitter, or he's a baseball guy, been around for a long time, more or less invented the modern framework for wins above replacement in baseball. But he's had some polls and some interesting like not work, but just like how people overuse the term generational player and how I think that's kind of funny. So but let's just take McDavid and Matthews for instance, right? And I think it's kind of interesting because now I kind of forget, or I just think of Matthews as an extremely good defensive center as well as just also being a great one of the best shooters in the league. But his first three, he wasn't actually, and this is by XGAR, his first three seasons he was negative in XGAR in EBD. McDavid was also, McDavid's never really been thought of as like a great defensive player, but he also struggled in his first couple seasons. I mean, he's been much better in the last like maybe five years or so defensively. So I think it's like not out of the, but it's interesting with Matthews because I don't have a memory of him not being particularly great defensively, but it did take him a couple years until that defense kind of came around. Now, I don't know if anybody would ever really, other than us, consider him like Selke caliber player. I'm not sure if he's really been in the conversation
Dom put him as Selke.
This year? Or?
Or put him in the Selke conversation, yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
we've been putting him in the Selke conversation
I know,
long
yeah.
before Dom. No, I'm
yeah, just... way before Dom.
Now, the real one is Jason Robertson that I don't think really gets the Selke talk.
For whatever reason,
I think you have a tough time getting wingers. outside like a Mark Stone.
Well, if there ever was a time that a winger, well, okay, other, since Mark Stone, Jason Robertson,
but like Mark Stone never got one.
I know.
I think Mark Stone, because of the way that he went about his defensive play, which is so obvious that he was very strong defensively, like I think he matched the eyes. Like I think everybody saw his defensive impact, and he had like that strong reputation. And if Mark Stone's not gonna win a Selke, like I just don't see a winger.
Who was the last new age though? Didn't Hossa win a Selke or no? Am I?
Yeah, I think so.
I don't know. I'm trying to remember the number of wingers who've ever won, or like at least in my memory, have won a Selke. Because I remember Hossa got a lot of talk, but I think it was more around how wingers can't win the Selke kind of thing or whatever. And that's the same thing. Like I think Hintz, right, is the one on Dallas who's going to get probably the Selke love, if you will, right, for his defense or whatever. It depends on kind of like what's going on, but.
I mean, that's another. I just think Jason Robertson's another player that just doesn't get enough love. Maybe it's just I haven't really heard.
Because you hated on him.
Nay.
For your little boy Kaprizov.
I never hated on Jason Robertson.
He should have won the Calder, and you know it.
I don't know it.
It's probably
you
just
do know it.
I don't know it.
It's probably just
because
you
agree with you. Sean is never going to let this go.
For some reason.
You're wrong.
It
like,
seems
that's the
like,
thing. It's misinformation.
Anyway, for some reason, it seems like point totals come into play when you're talking about Selke.
Yeah,
winners,
they always do. Yeah.
Which is like the dumbest shit ever. Like, why should who should care how many fucking
it's like
points
the
you score?
It's like the delay of game penalty, of which it says that if a player intentionally shoots the puck over the glass, and yet just no matter what, this year I've seen it where Linus Ullmark made a save, but they still called it a delay of game.
You know, I don't think I ever really quite put. I think I knew that, but
is that
never really...
actually the rule? Is that if they intentionally shoot it out of bounds or out of
right,
play?
But then you throw the judgment onto the refs, and so it's easier and more consistent if they just literally call it no matter what, which is why that they do that. Because
it's also
it's like it ends up being one of the most consistent calls in the game.
It's also something that I can kind of understand is that maybe if it's wasn't in, I think they. In, it's like also it's like, well, pucks going in the stand is actually like kind of can be a little dangerous, right? So it's like you probably don't want to encourage your players, even like every player I think in the league knows they should not shoot the puck out of the rink, right? So like they're going to try not to do that, right?
But if there was no penalty in place and you were stuck on the ice for 2 minutes and you got the puck, you would absolutely shoot the puck over the glass.
No. I'm saying. I think that they should rewrite the rule to just say if you shoot the puck out of the rink, you know, over the glass, it's a penalty, not an intentional shot, right? Because like I just think that that's how it is now.
But anyway, let's get back
is.
To the real issue at hand, the Selke. No, I'm just. But
no,
I think it is.
We're getting close to the end of our break, and I did want to like the other
end
thing
of
I
our
had
break.
Up because I
this
or
the
sorry
break?
The end of our first segment. We're getting close to our break. Not to cut you off, bro, but I had the records.nhl.com site up, which I don't know if I always forget is a thing. They have, like, historical records for we all know about – I was just kind of circling back to kind of – what is the term? I'm dropping
love
the term.
Love your corporate talk tonight, by the way.
Huh?
Circle back.
I love your
I know, yeah. I'm circling
talk.
Back to – I'm putting it to the other side of the – there's some
we
metaphor.
Put a, we put a pin in something, and now we're circling back to it.
Put a bookend on this first, you know, this first segment was I thought it was kind of interesting to compare this year's Sharks to like the all time worst teams ever, right? We all know about the 74-75 Capitals, who had a 13.1% points percentage. They play it was 80 games in 74-75. They won 8 games and they lost 67.
That's really impressive.
In
hockey, how is it possible that you can like that the variance can't get you more a little more wins
so,
some more wins than that? Like,
but on that topic, the most losses a team has ever had in the NHL was the 92-93 Sharks. They lost. It was an 84 game season. I kind of forgot that they had an 84 game season back then. They lost 71 games in the 92-93 season, and they allowed 414 goals against. Which is obviously we're different eras. The 74-75 Capitals allowed 446 goals. To put that in perspective, I think right now the Sharks have currently allowed like 260 goals against or something. I think. And so they would be doing out like 200 more goals in the next like 12 games, where it was 14 games.
Oh, talk about a record that'll never be broken.
I know.
Is the NHL record for goals against? That's one that's never going to happen.
Never going to happen. I just thought it was interesting because I think right now the Sharks are at like a 31% points percentage, I think. And there are like 50-plus teams that are worse than that in terms of points percentage. So this, like, from a historical standpoint, this Sharks team from a standings points a pure record standpoint, are not even close to the worst team that's ever been in the NHL. But it's interesting that there's a few modern teams. I'm trying to think just based on points percentage. Yeah, both the Senators in 92-93 as well they had the same points percentage.
I was just reading about the first tank in the NHL. Is that the?
I don't know. Actually,
I think it was the Senators.
Was
something where they like got in trouble because they like openly admitted that they were trying to lose. I just read about this. I didn't just read about it. But
let's head over to Sean's favorite website, Wikipedia.com, and take a look, because there's the 1992-93 Ottawa Senators season entry. It was the inaugural season of the modern Ottawa Senators. Despite winning the first game of the regular season on October 8th, the Senators won only 9 more en route to their worst season ever. The team recorded 3 NHL records that season, the longest home losing streak of 11 from October 27th to December 8th, the longest road losing streak with a total of 39.
Lost 39 games in a row on the road?
From October 10th to April 3, nearly the whole season, and fewest road wins in a season with just one victory away. The Senators won one game on the road in 92-93, which is
like not even that long ago. Like,
I know that it's like 30 years ago or whatever, right? Like, it's not.
Wild,
because there are a few teams on here like the 19 Quebec Bulldogs that are also down here. Well, they played 24 games and they won 4 of them. Team business. So there's a bunch of stuff. I was trying to see if there was like anything about the tank.
Yeah, hold on.
But
let
that's
me try
their
to
first season,
it.
Right, of the modern Senators.
Ottawa Senators.
You know what? I think what we should do, maybe, what are their awards down here? They had All-Stars. Of course they had All-Stars. Okay, let's maybe take a break. I'm getting too enthralled with reading
about
the
92-93
Senators.
See, this is what happens. You get into Wikipedia, and you're just let me go through.
But could you imagine what would happen in today's age if a team lost, 40 games on the road in a season? If they only won one road game, now if you prorate that, it's probably they win maybe. Well, no. Like, if, say, the Sharks lost every single game on the road except for one, that would be a spectacle. That would be a glorious thing, but it's never going to happen again. The goalies got too good. They got too big of pads.
Right? Yeah. I mean, that has to be it.
It's definitely what it is.
Anyway, Sean, why don't you take us to break and end this nonsense, and we'll come back and talk about some more substantial things, I suppose.
All right. Well, the Twins are going to go get more coffee and get their cookies, and they'll be back refreshed right after this.
The Evolving Hockey Podcast is brought to you by EvolvingHockey.com, your home for advanced NHL statistics on the web. When you become a subscriber to EvolvingHockey.com, you gain access to such evaluation tools as NHL goals above replacement, regularized adjusted plus minus, skater contract projections, visualizations, charts, and much more. Visit evolving-hockey.com/login today to become a subscriber.
Thank you so much to our sponsor for providing us that lovely break. So we are back. What?
It's a lovely break.
I was trying to switch it up. You know, how do you come back from this stuff? I'm not necessarily always the smoothest anyway, because I'm so introverted. And then it's like, I don't know. How do you come off from this like random break in the podcast? I don't know. Thank you so much to our sponsor is evolving-hockey.com.
Evolving-hockey.com, your number one.
Because you refuse to let Menard sponsor us.
No, literally no one has contacted us about sponsoring this podcast.
No,
That's a lie.
Okay, we get a lot of spam,
a lot of spam, which is just not about anything. It's about the website, not about
the
podcast.
Maybe we need to be more proactive if we want to make the big bucks being professional podcasters.
I think this is more of like a kind of a mom passion pop project. Operation here.
Yeah.
We
don't have pop.
Yeah.
It's a dive bar.
It's a bed and breakfast dive bar of hockey podcasts.
This is a bed and breakfast up on the North Shore of
you
hockey
come
podcast,
in here
right?
for a Miller High Life to play a dollar pool game and listen to 80s rock. That's what you're here for.
In Minnesota, it'd be a grain belt.
Yeah.
You'd get a grain belt or a Pabst. And
yeah, it's just a small little bar among the sea of hockey podcasts. And we have our loyal listeners. We appreciate you very much.
We love you.
And people who live down the street, they stop by once a week, you know, or whatever. And they get their, you know, a couple beers and they play some pool and, you know, they have a good time. And it's, we don't, you know, we're not advertising here. We're just having fun. But no, Sean, you do a great job as the host.
Yes.
I have to say.
Yeah.
It's funny. All three of us are quite naturally, I think, introverted. You might not see it because Luke and I are very outgoing on the podcast here, but I'm not naturally an extroverted kind of guy. I get very worn out in social situations, and it's kind of the opposite where it's the pure introverted where I get done like with, I don't know, like a party or a gathering or something. I need to go home and be alone so I can like recharge, basically. You know, so we do a good job despite our introverted ways, right?
I'd say so. I'm gonna pat ourselves on the back here. But anyway, what are we getting back to talking about? Marco Rossi Crusade?
No, I did a little bit of research because Luke was asking about this, and we were talking in our little break here. Is that we were a little bit surprised by that some of those old records by the teams, and I did look, bro. I found a Sports Illustrated Vault article from, I don't know when this is from. When was this written? This is from August of 93. It's about the 92-93 Ottawa Senators, which is their first season. So I'll read the first paragraph. This is not Wikipedia, Sean. This is an actual SI, even though this is pre-AI generated content from SI, right? The 92-93 Ottawa Senators were plenty bad during their maiden season in the NHL. With only 10 wins in 84 games, they were almost unprecedentedly bad. But worse yet, their management considered taking extra measures to be certain that the Senators were bad enough to secure the number one pick in the June entry draft, the pick with which they ultimately chose highly regarded center Alexander Daigle. I don't know.
Wasn't he a bust, too?
Wasn't that a
historic bust?
I saw this on Reddit, was that it was basically an interview with him explaining that he just, like, lost the love for hockey.
Oh, that was that? Yeah.
And someone was explaining how, well, that team actually, well, you could keep going with the, but it was kind of sad. It was like this guy, like, and he just, like, once he got to the NHL, he just, like, had no motivation and just, I don't know what happened. It was a really interesting interview. But, yeah, he was a complete bust of a first overall pick.
Well, the article goes on to say, when allegations that the Senators may have lost games on purpose surfaced last week in the Canadian capital, the news left coach Rick Bonus angry. So Rick Bonus was the coach of the 92-93
32 years ago?
I guess. That's what it says here. This is from Sports Illustrated Vault. His players shocked and embittered, and the Senators founding owner, Bruce Firestone, painstakingly trying to clarify that he acknowledged intemperate remarks made after consuming 8, maybe 9 beers. What is going on in this?
So they're saying that the owner admitted after drinking 8 or 9 beers that they were trying to lose? Is that what that is?
Let me read this sentence again because it's a little long. There's too many commas in this. When allegations that the Senators may have lost games on purpose surfaced last week in the Canadian capital, which is also something
Ottawa.
Of
itself. That's Ottawa.
Yes, I know that. We've been to Ottawa. Okay. The news left coach Rick Bonus angry, his players shocked and embittered, and the Senators' founding owner, Ottawa developer Bruce Firestone, painstakingly trying to clarify what he acknowledged to be intemperate remarks made after consuming 8, maybe 9 beers. And that's in quotes. And it provided a rare glimpse into the psychology of a professional team caught in the all-too-familiar predicament in which its obligation to do its best clashes with the temptation to do less than its best to acquire a potential star. Oh, this is an interesting article. I could read the whole thing, and that could be our whole
segment. And they're talking about tanking from 30 years ago?
Yeah.
It's been around as old as sports.
It's old as sports.
Since back in Greece.
Sean looks skeptical.
When they tanked during the original Olympics.
Just wasn't, well, just was very...
That was a wild sentence.
There's a lot going on.
Yeah, that... Yeah, I mean, whoever was writing this, they could have done better.
I'm trying to figure out, did the owner, the Bruce Firestone,
I can't figure out who was eight beers deep. And
who had eight, maybe
kind of
nine
beers.
And when someone
were
says eight,
Molson's,
here's the thing also, when somebody says eight, maybe nine beers, like, they definitely had like 11 beers, right? I mean, like, they're it's on the higher end of that, I think. When
well,
somebody's
it's beers
like,
plus two, right?
Yeah, right. So yes.
Okay. If I had one beer, I had three.
What is going on with this article? This is it. I just
know.
Anyway, this is the type of stuff that you miss out when you don't investigate and try to learn, you know?
Well, look, that was like 5 years before I was born.
Yeah, that was a couple years after we were born.
Yeah, I mean, it's only like three. We were like three.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm still trying. I'm still.
Okay, Josh, let's move on from this.
Yeah, let's move on. That was a bit much.
But oh, this is funny. They have like the headlines from like the Citizen monitored the senator's progress with a regular box headed capital punishment. Sorry,
puns go
thing.
Back that far too. Yes, yeah.
This is a whole thing that we don't necessarily have time to get into. So there's a lot there for our list, our loyal neighborly bar listeners.
If you want to go read about you know, some historic tanking. But it was funny. I was going to say, I was just trying to search this also, and one of the top Google hits was a YouTube video from a year ago that said, the NHL commissioner is cracking down on teams tanking, and which I thought was funny considering we're having a pretty, you know, as we talked about at great length in the first half, the tank off between the Blackhawks and the Sharks. Which clearly they didn't crack down on tanking because that's what's happening this year. Anyway,
well, I've always thought that idea, and not to, you know, usually I think we like to keep the first segment and second segment a little bit separated, you know, and have different things. But I know this is still an interesting idea. Is like how would you even do that, right? Like in any league, how are you going
to? Well,
like,
you'd have to do the gold drafting.
Yes, but also like. Yeah, that would be the way to do
which
it.
Which the PWHL just announced that's what they're doing, right?
Yeah,
which is very cool.
I love how they've just taken like any sort of idea that's out in the public realm of how to solve things, and they're like, yeah, let's just go for it. Like the jailbreak.
Yeah.
The jailbreak, I like personally. I don't know. Some people don't like it.
Hold on, what is that? Did I miss this?
The jailbreak?
Yeah.
If you score a goal while shorthanded, the person gets out of the penalty box.
Oh.
Yeah.
You go back to a different strength state, I guess.
Yeah, you lost your chance. No power play for you.
Yeah. No, yeah. I mean, I think it there's a lot of logic there, right? You know, makes a lot of sense. But sorry, now I'm all thrown off because I'm thinking about the well, 92,
that's how you that's
let's move on. But yes, I mean, people, if we want to go on with the dive bar imagery, someone just found a magazine from 1993 on the pinball machine.
Exactly.
It's out of order, so don't put any of your quarters in the pinball machine.
Yeah, anyway, it is kind of fun. I will say the PWHL, I really wish they had team names, because it and not just the, you know, Minnesota.
They're coming. We'll see.
I know they are, but like, I thought the Whitecaps was a pretty good name for the Minnesota team.
I'd be very well. They're trying to kind of get, I mean, not to get too political here in politics that we aren't quite familiar with. We've mentioned our limited knowledge on the topic, but like, they're clearly trying to get rid of any marks of the PHF,
and yeah,
because the PHF. Previously to that, it was NWHL. Took that. I think they're going to leave that in the past, which is unfortunate. I like the Boston Pride too.
Well, the Buttes was a great name.
Well, right? There's no Buffalo team.
Yeah, that's true. But I'm saying in the future when they expand to Buffalo, which they should probably, right?
The Ottawa Octopuses, octopi.
The Ottawa like Otts. What about the Otts? That's a bad. I don't know why that came.
I'm trying
to
think of the Minnesota. Another Minnesota.
I always when we were growing up, I used to see Minnesota Moose jerseys around, and I thought that was like a really just kind of.
I think they should go. I think they should go with the Lakers. I think we've all come to this conclusion before.
You know, I mean, we've said this many times: is that the original sports teams, the big, the like four original sports teams in Minnesota had the greatest the quadrecta. What is a trifecta but for four?
Just say quadfecta. There
the
you
quadfecta
go.
Of team names when they had the Lakers, the North Stars, the Twins, and the Vikings. That was top tier. And then they just kept, same thing. Both teams kept the names when they moved out of Minnesota. Why? How does that always happen? The fucking LA took the Lakers. There's no lakes in fucking LA. Like, come on, you're right by the ocean. You don't have lake. Like, we're in the middle of the country, middle of the continent. There's a shit ton of lakes around here, and you're gonna keep the Lakers name? Oh my god,
Luke's,
so annoying.
Luke's, I mean, maybe I shouldn't have turned your mic up, bro. You're getting animated now. Now you're kind of peaking our audio.
Okay,
over
I'm
here.
Sorry. I apologize.
I just learned that trifecta is, or it originated in the 1970s.
It's only that. That's the what's the name for history of a word?
Merriam-Webster says that it's a combination of the prefix tri, obviously, and the I think of Spanish origin word perfecta.
Really?
Yeah.
It's like not that. Okay, anyway, we're way off topic. I apologize to our lovely listeners.
We really need to get video because Sean's just cracking
yeah,
up. He's
I know.
Just been laughing off mic the whole time.
I noticed it's like not coming into the mic. I'm dying though.
Yeah. Sorry.
No, yeah. So we're
I don't know, maybe
so,
there's
okay.
lakes in California. I don't think there's a lot of lakes around Los Angeles.
There's Lake
though.
Tahoe.
Yeah, that's in
that's not even
way
close
far
to
away.
LA.
That's like so where, right where all the rich people go like, to it, go skiing when they
it really now Luke got me irritated because it's like why the hell would you keep the name Lakers if you're going to California?
Maybe because they want there to be lakes in
should have
LA.
Been like California.
They have an ocean there.
They should have been the California oceans or the California what about reservoirs, right? Like yeah. That would make more sense than how many I wonder how many lakes are in California. There can't be.
Okay, but California's huge. There's probably a lot up north.
Or what the
inland.
Heck is a Clipper?
Actually,
do you know what a Clipper is?
I don't know. You know, if you want to, like the Minnesota Clippers could be, because we have what they call a Clipper system, is a weather system that comes through and gives like us like an inch of snow. It's called a, what is it? What's the full term for it?
I don't know.
Hold on. What
you're
is,
the one who's talking
on
about
the,
this.
On the East Coast, there's like a weather phenomenon. Clipper.
Easter.
Yeah. It's like the same thing. We get Clipper weather.
I can't believe California's
yeah these
Lakers.
What is a Clipper system? These cold low pressure systems are driven by fast flowing winds in the jet stream, which quickly push them across the northern Great Plains into the Great Lakes, Midwest, and Northeast.
I think you got to admit though, the stars are better than North Stars.
No. Are you kidding me?
Yeah,
absolutely not.
The state 100%. Name of Minnesota is the North Star State.
Yeah,
it's okay. The North Star.
The number
it's,
of times we've gone over this is,
but
okay,
Texas
we are,
has one star in their flag.
And, yeah, so then why is it the stars?
Texans.
Why isn't it just the star?
I'm holding in my irritation right now so that we don't have to
continue.
We got to
move
you
on.
Know, I got a good thing to move on to. That's going to be a nice, fresh segment.
It.
Is the current playoff
Let's
picture, which I haven't looked at yet, except I did already just now. But I haven't until tonight, right?
Let's hear it, Josh.
I'm just telling you what. I think this is from, what is this? BetMGM. This is I think this is updated. Because this is the only thing I could find, and I didn't want to manually put the playoff teams together, right? So right now, Sean's Bruins, right, are currently in position to play the Red Wings in the first round. Does that sound right?
Well, let's just pull up the standings and look.
Someone, yeah,
that
Luke,
sounds right.
Panthers are and the Maple Leafs are slotted to
Ooh,
play.
That'll be a good series.
Hurricanes and Flyers and Rangers Lightning. That's the current playoff picture.
Hurricanes are – Flyers are going to have a – miraculous run to make the playoffs and then run into a
yeah. In the Western Conference currently it's the Canucks and Golden Knights, the Avalanche and Stars, the Oilers and Kings, and the Jets and Predators. Which that's the, I believe currently yeah the Jets are first in the Central right now, which I can't remember the last time the Jets have been the first team in the Central. They're you know one of our teams. Of all of our wrong predictions heading the season, we are the highest on the Jets among the public models, and that's turned.
Yeah, we knew.
Out.
We
knew.
We knew.
Knew it. Don't look at the other ones.
Yeah, don't look at
the,
yeah,
the Jets are right. So that's the current playoff picture. Now I believe that they're of those. I think the ones that are most up in the air are in the East, right? As Sean, off?
Yeah, the West is basically set.
Yeah,
I mean it's. Base like there would have to be something for like what the Wild to make it like their stuff would have to go really wrong for a team and the Wild would have to like win out. But I will say in the East I was really pulling for the Sabres. The Red Wings were tanking. They were on the down slope, on a downward trend, and the Sabres were kind of showing maybe a little bit, and then they lost to the Red Wings, and it was depressing because I was really hoping the Sabres.
They were up to almost like 10% in our playoff.
Yeah, we had them at like around like 9, almost 10%. But right, and then they lost to the Red Wings, and they lost like 5%. But the Red Wings like have been just kept like losing. Like they lost, they just lost to the Capitals, right? I think, like the team they need to beat to make the playoffs. I don't know.
I think that's right. And the Sabres have actually been like pretty good the last like.
I know the Sabres. I think are a lot better than their record suggests, which is unfortunate because you know people who are familiar with the podcast know we're big Sabres fans on this podcast.
please exclude me. Thank you.
And. Yeah, so now we're looking at, like, based on our probabilities on Evolving Hockey, our projections, which, we have...
Shout out to EvolvingHockey.com.
Oh, yeah.
Today's sponsor.
Yeah, shout out. We basically have, it's kind of like five teams in the playoff. Well, 2, 4, 6. I mean, kind of. It's like four teams that are battling it out right now, seriously, which is the Flyers, Islanders, Capitals, and Red Wings. Which is, if you would have told me those were the teams vying for the last playoff spot, I would have been
surprised. Well, there's also the final divisional spot in the Metro's up for.
Yes. So there's two, probably going to be, well, we'll see. It'll probably be one wild card from each of the Metro and the Atlantic, depending upon how the Red Wings perform down the stretch. Seriously, I would be very surprised if the Capitals made the playoffs. They've still stood in these I don't know how they're so high in the standings. Their like underlying metrics are really bad. The Sabres, like, it's every time I do our game projections, I look, I'm like, man, they didn't even been that bad. They're not like
it's not just that the Capitals' underlyings are bad. Like they have like a minus 30 something goal differential.
Yeah, I know.
It's all around. It's weird. What does Micah call it? Sequencing? I was just like, I call it like allocation of goals, like sequencing of goals, he calls it, I think.
Well, it's like kind of like the how many one run games did you win or lose?
Well, yeah, you'll win tight games, and when you lose, you get blown out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is kind of a funny, funny thing. But yeah, their underlying numbers are not great.
There's a bunch of really middling teams out east, yeah. It seems like, that are all kind of, like, still hanging on. Like, the Islanders, didn't I see something? They've only won, like, I don't know. Like, they're, well, and they're
the Islanders have 15 overtime losses. which is tied with the Bruins for the most in the league.
Sorry, go ahead, Sean.
One of the interesting things that I think is that the Wild and on this is on today's projections, and it's all close, and I get the standard deviation, but the Wild and the Flames are projected to finish with higher points than the Islanders, Capitals, and Red Wings, who are all fighting for basically the final wild card spot in the East. And the Wild and the Flames stand essentially no chance of making the playoffs the West.
The Wild and Flames currently have, I think, one or two more points than that last spot in the wild card, right? Or sorry, the Wild and Blues, I should say, who are the two teams that are out of, you know, they're currently right outside the wild card. I mean, man, Vegas has really fallen off too, haven't they? Like, I mean, in terms of their standing points, right? Like, they're kind of like, it's not, well, that would be basically how the West changes, right? Is if Vegas continues to lose, which would be hilarious after their deadline. Like, I would be so funny if they just still,
just kept losing.
Yeah, if they, like, I don't know. I mean, I think in their, you know, they're 4-5-1 in their last 10. So I think they've won.
I mean, that's enough to, if they just keep,
yes,
going 500, they're going to be.
But also,
the
there is like, it's not completely out of the realm of possibility that the Knights potential that like one of the Blues or Wild, even though I think that they're clearly like worse teams than the Knights, the Golden Knights are, like they're kind of within that realm where like weird stuff can happen.
Weird stuff to happen. Like it would be so funny if like one of the, I don't know, Capitals or Islanders or, or the Flyers just like, or the Sabres went on a winning streak, or one team went on a big losing streak. Like, say the Red Wings just keep losing, like, more. That would be funny to me. Sorry, Red Wings fans.
We didn't even talk about the patch. We don't need to, but.
The what?
The patch.
The patch?
Is this Nick? Are you talking about nicotine prevention? Is that weird?
No. Do you not know the lore?
Okay. What you tell our listeners?
Are you familiar with it or not?
Yes, but
I lie and say I am.
So the Red Wings added on Leap Day this year. They added Priority Waste as their jersey sponsor. So they had a patch, and they lost their first 7 games.
Yes.
With them as their jersey sponsor. Now then they played the Sabres and they won, and now they've lost again. So they are 1-8. with Priority Waste as their jersey sponsor. And people are rightfully very upset with the Red Wings for that, obviously. They haven't taken action, and it's clearly the reason for them slipping, and it has nothing to do with prior overperformance and potential regression and the fact that they weren't as good as their record and goals had shown. Definitely was because of a patch. I fully believe it. And there was like a bunch of chants, and people are calling for the end of this.
Well,
but
and
they keep pushing on, I guess.
I like the thing with the Red Wings, like to your point, Sean, and you're being somewhat sarcastic, but it was correct, is that they were always like, I mean, that was the thing we talked about at the beginning of the season, was how they were just massively overperforming like their actual
their shooting percentage is just unbelievably high. It was kind of like the Canucks, except the Canucks underlying numbers were like not nearly as bad.
But I think in the last, I was just looking at our game logs, in the last like 20 games, like the Red Wings have at 5-5, I think it's only 5 games they've out attempted their opponents, and XG is pretty similar. Like they're and it's not like, I mean, I guess they played, I'm just trying to look, kind of like eyeball their strength of schedule in here. Like they played Vancouver, Edmonton, Vancouver, and then Colorado, and then Florida and Colorado. But like they played a lot. They played like multiple games against Arizona. They had multiple games against Anaheim, I think. No, not Anaheim. Sorry. I shouldn't be eyeballing this to get an idea. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think it ultimately doesn't matter. I guess back to the main playoff picture, at least our initial take, right, is that they're going up. I don't know. I mean, let's say it stays right now, right? Like, do you think that Boston beats Detroit, Sean? Do you think Boston's a better team?
Yeah.
Because you were kind of down on your team.
Well,
the
Boston has not been
year.
Very good lately. Like, their underlying metrics also in the last, like, 15 games are pretty bad. I was just looking like shot share, if you will, Corsi 4 percentage. Red Wings were at 5-5. The Red Wings were third worst team in the league, and I think Boston was like fifth or sixth worst team in the last like 14 games. So that's kind of interesting. Maybe they're just coasting because they have such a, you know, their standing points are kind of holding them. But they should try to keep that slot if they're going to play the Red Wings, because I think the Red Wings would be not a terrible opponent for the Bruins. Anyway, sorry, I didn't mean to hijack.
Okay. I was asking Sean's opinion of the, I guess of the Bruins' chances against the Red Wings.
Red Wings. Yeah, I think the Bruins have stand a strong chance.
Okay, because I guess coming out of like it's just interesting because a lot of these.
Now. Did I tell you I went to Detroit?
Well, there you go.
Did you stop at the airport, or did you leave the airport?
Yeah, I went from gate A61 or something like that to A31.
It's a very nice airport.
Yeah.
We've said this many times.
I spent 10 minutes in there. I was very pleased with it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there you go. Okay. So finishing off, I guess this, my last point.
Got Michigan off the list.
Yeah. Got Michigan off the list. Is I think it's kind of interesting to look at like the, I guess the favorites for the kind of, you know, like the, because a lot of these teams are not necessarily like, who you're not going to expect the Red Wings or the Flyers. I mean, I guess, I don't know, maybe the Flyers, there's still some magic there. But even, like, I don't know, like the wild card, I don't necessarily think there's a team that's really super strong. Like, who's the biggest contender right now, I guess, maybe is my final question.
What, in the East?
Or just
who's
in general,
the biggest
right?
contender?
I guess the top, like, who do you think right now is
Carolina.
The strongest team in the East Carolina. And West. You think Carolina over Florida? Over,
yeah.
I mean, they've just been kind of doing Carolina things like the whole year, but they've been winning, I suppose, right?
Well, I mean, Freddie's back and playing fairly well.
Yes, that is a big
Kuznetsov has always had the talent. Obviously, there were some other issues he was going through. He's past the issues, hopefully, for good. He's recognized that's his last chance, and he's playing really well in Carolina. They've got Jake Guentzel to add some skill and to add those different dynamics that they've always been missing. So they've added significant skill to their forward core, and they always dominate games, and now they have a little bit more skill.
Yeah.
And then if they're going to get some goaltending help, like, yeah, I think they're really strong. I think they'll end up with first in the Metro. I think they'll overtake New York. And
yeah,
we are due for a New York-Philadelphia playoff series. I think that is what the hockey gods owe us. So I do think
that's what I want to see.
And then out west.
I mean, it's got to be Colorado, right?
I don't know. Oilers.
Or maybe Oilers.
I will also say that the Canucks have been have surprised me a lot this year. I think that their underlying metrics are just, I did not expect them to be like a solid team. And like, you know, if
okay,
I'm
they definitely cooled off though too. And you just like won't talk about how they've cooled off. But,
no, they did. But I'm talking about like in the past 25 games, right? Which is what we use for our game projection models. Is they're like one of the top teams in terms of Corsi 4 percentage and XGF percentage as well in the league in the last 25 games, which is like very surprising to me, right? That's kind of mainly what I'm saying. I guess that like I guess in XGF percentage they're like eighth, and in Corsi 4 percentage they're like third. I would say the Oilers, I mean, there's a lot of good teams in the West though, like the Avalanche. What, Avalanche, Stars, Canucks,
Oilers? I'm sticking with the Oilers.
I am too.
Forever.
Yeah.
Well, no. And I think the big thing, like we talked about this before, and we maybe should just wrap this up before we keep rambling, but I think if Skinner, right, like this has like been the big, now they have goals. I mean, like that was obviously like the biggest narrative in the league was the first like couple weeks the Oilers just had horrible goaltending, and then all of a sudden they have great goaltending and they're one of the best, you know, that's kind of how goalies are sometimes. I don't know. Colorado's like, I mean, I think that there's, I guess I was just kind of thinking about the strong, like the divisions in terms of strength for the playoff picture. And I feel like right now I'm much more confident in the West than the East, which is weird to say. Like,
yeah, I feel like it's been multiple years now where the East has been stronger than the West. And that's now changing. There's a sea change of happening here where the strongest teams are mostly in the West, except for Carolina, Florida, and Toronto, I guess. I don't know. If it's Avalanche Stars in the first round, that's going to be a great series. That would be, I think both of those teams could have a chance of making, if they weren't playing each other, would both be strong contenders for the Western Conference Final.
But, I mean, like, it's going to be tough, and we should kind of wrap it up here. Yeah. The Central, all three teams, Winnipeg, Dallas, and Colorado are all currently tied at 91 points. They're all within a game of each other, so there's a lot that's going to, you know, move around there. I think that it would be both great and kind of annoying if Dallas and Colorado play in the first round, because, like, I think they're both two of the stronger teams coming out of the West. But either way, I just hope to watch them play. I think it'll be kind of interesting, so... All right, maybe I think that's our end.
That's the end.
Sean's gone silent. He's done.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you for putting up with another evolving hockey podcast. I believe we'll be back next week. Next week will be my final Monday home of March. Oh, wait, it's the last Monday of March anyway. So we'll be back next week to discuss some more.
Take it easy, John.
Take it easy. Thanks.